Tony Hale is joining us now. He's got a book out. It's a children's book called Archibald's Next Big Thing. And it's strange enough, it's very much like the book that we had, Trying Not to Try. It's a very Zen sort of children's book, and it's really quite delightful. He's online with us now from Los Angeles. No, he's not. Oh, boy. So Tony has, oh, that's the wrong line. Is this line here? Hi, Tony, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Hey.
Oh, God, I had the wrong line, and I was really upset for just about a second there.
I'm so glad that you're not upset anymore. How are you?
I get upset really easily, though. I should work. I'm fine.
Oh,
how are you?
Oh, it's going to go well. Good.
Yeah. It's really early out there, I'm sure. Thank you for talking with us.
Oh, my gosh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we had Julia JLD on the show, and she was in her pajamas when we talked to her. Are you in yours?
Yes, she's always in her pajamas. That never changes.
Well, that's a great thing. The book is delightful, and you're delightful, and you're wonderful, but we have like a generation gap here because the younger people around here say, you know, Tony Hale, Arrested Development, and the rest of us of a certain age, it's all Veep, you know, and Gary on Veep.
Yeah. Which the characters kind of are similar. They're both neurotic.
Yeah, they're both neurotic. And Gary is unbelievably obsequious. Can we say that?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
He's also just a codependent mess.
Yeah, he's codependent. And he's probably the closest to the vice president and without actually being close at all.
Yeah, I don't think he has any identity outside of Selina Meyer.
Yeah.
I think he's at home with just a lot of cats.
Yeah, but he did find a girlfriend and a wife, though.
He did find a girlfriend. That did not last long because Selina Meyer, I think in his perfect world, they're going to be married one day.
Yeah, which we know is not going to happen.
No, in his world it is, though.
Yeah. The character itself, in this case, in Gary, how much of that is you making that character into a Tony Hale character?
Well, hopefully not much, or I would need tremendous amounts of therapy.
Yes.
He kind of started off as, you know, he's her helper, and he's kind of always doing whatever she wants. But then, what's fun about doing a show is you see the character form with how the writing changes. So wherever the writing goes, you kind of adapt to that, and then like you'll read something, you'll be like, "Wow, this character is a mess."
Yeah.
So then that's kind of how it develops.
And it's such a great show too, because it not only is it like the best written show ever, comedy show I think, but everyone gets their own. Every character gets his own day, his own moment on the show.
Yeah, I think Gary's waiting for his day though. Gary's waiting for the day that he's going to be able to speak up and be able to cuss somebody out.
Yeah.
He's always just cussed that.
Yeah. Does that happen in this season, or can't you tell us that?
He gets a little fiery this season.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah. And of course, I think maybe you're best known for Dave in Stranger Than Fiction.
Oh yeah, that was a while ago. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, or maybe the guy who gets pulled out of a car window by Melissa McCarthy
for picking up a prostitute.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was an amazing piece of comedy, I thought.
Yeah, my family is very proud.
Yeah, but it can't be that easy to be pulled out of a car window.
Yeah, that was fun. Well, working, Melissa McCarthy, who was the lead on that movie, is just so fantastic, and she's such an amazing improv actress. And so we were just kind of playing with it, and we thought, and we just came, it was either her or the director was just like, I think you just need to yank him out of the car. and in the back of my mind, I'm like, wait, am I involved in this decision? Or, so then we just kind of went for it.
Yeah, I thought it was great. And I saw on Funny or Die, there was a little piece that you were involved in about working with you as a talent and a tendency to go, what, over the top?
Yeah, the joke was that I can't do anything. I can't do anything if it's not broad. So any kind of subtle thing, I just turn into like pretty much mime or something.
Yeah.
So that was fun. It's acting. Tony's acting style.
Yeah.
Oh, and I know what it was. They needed a tranquilizer dart gun to calm me down.
Yeah. We actually sort of have that. Would you mind if we played that just as, and then you can tell us whether or not this actually is sort of your acting or your acting style.
Okay.
Okay, this is it. Tony Zakenstein.
I'm known for kind of playing wacky, broad, kind of neurotic characters. Buster Bluth on Arrested Development, Gary Walsh on Veep. But, I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I am capable of so much more.
Great. We got that one, all right? Tony, in this one, you're going to have a bee buzzing in your face.
Oh, okay.
Just with facial expressions, react to that bee, okay? Nothing too big. Just keep it real. Keep it.
Say no more.
Okay, guys.
Thanks.
Okay, great, guys. Here we go. Action.
This is our day.
This is our day.
This is our day.
I know. It's like we've lived our whole...
There's a bee! Kill it!
Tony, let's pull it back. Come back about a mile, okay? Let's just think smaller, 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 okay? Yeah. Just think of yourself as an ant. Play like an ant.
I'm an ant.
Can I get a little help, please?
I'm gonna ride that bee like a horse. Boom, boom, boom.
Cut! Got it. Nice. Working with Tony is an absolute nightmare. Flat out. He's the worst. But with the tranquilizer darts, we were able to get a good performance out of him.
I mainly work with lions and tigers and bears. Tony's the only actor I work with. They give me a call whenever he's on set.
One dart for comedy, two darts for drama. He's a brilliant actor with a dart.
I'm a big bad lawyer with a suit and a tie like my daddy wears.
Maybe I'm defending my client because she's innocent. And maybe I'm defending her because I'm in love with her.
Diane!
May I present you an exhibit A?
Cut! That's it. We got it. Thanks. Real good.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm a bit scared at the amount of tranquilizer we are putting into Tony, but she is terrible with that.
This next project is getting a lot of Oscar buzz already, so let's just say we're going to be using a lot of darts. Tony died again.
Clear!
Did someone text his family and let him know? Gone.
That's it. Oh, we lost Tony Hale on that shoot.
I know. I need a lot of darts. A
lot of darts. That's not at all true of your acting style, right? That's.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's a part of the show budget. Yeah. They have to hire tranquilized darts.
Yeah, by the way, I loved your drunk history as Meriwether Lewis.
Oh my gosh, those are so fun to do. I learned so much from that show.
Yeah.
I only learn history when like drunk people are telling me about it.
Yeah. It's a novel concept. It's really funny and stuff. How hard is it to do someone else's drunken lines?
So it's so fun because what they do is they do a playback and then you just kind of mouth the words, but you know, all of a sudden you'll be talking about history, and then they do a big burp, and you have to, like, you know, mimic the burp, and it's just so fun.
Yeah. Now, you're from what, West Point, New York? Is that right?
I was born in West Point, New York, because my dad taught nuclear physics at West Point
Academy.
I know. And then he birthed me, so.
Yeah. All on his own. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. So.
All on his own, I know.
Yeah.
It's nuclear physics.
Yeah. Not a military background?
Yeah, well, then my dad was in the Army, and I was an Army brat until about the seventh grade when we moved to Tallahassee, Florida, and he retired, and that's where I kind of spent my high school years and middle school years.
Yeah. Do the Hales themselves go back to the Revolutionary Hales and all that?
I'm sure they do, and I should probably research that. So maybe you should just get me really drunk, and then I can talk about some kind of intelligent history.
Yeah, we could have you play one of the old Hales.
Exactly. I'll be Nathan Hale.
Yeah, one of the Nathan Hales. And it's not true that you were offered the lead in American Sniper.
I was offered the lead in American Sniper.
Yeah.
The character was going to be a lot quirkier, and then they went a different direction.
And your children's book, Archibald's Next Big Thing, was this because you have a young daughter that you decided to write a children's book? Or?
Yeah, well, I do have an amazing daughter. She's 8 years old. Her name is Loy, L-O-Y. But the children's book came about because I met this artist in Los Angeles named Victor Huckabee, who had created this character Archibald, and we had talked about, because I wanted to write some kind of children's book because there had been a pattern in that I'd noticed that every time I got, and I've had some great gigs, but every time I got a job, I was still looking to the next job.
Right.
And I think we can get so focused on our next adventure that we miss the adventure that we're on. So it's about a little chicken who's always, he goes on these great adventures, but every time he's on an adventure, he's like, I got to get to my next big thing. And there's this little bee that travels around with him, and it's like, you got to just be, man. You got to just be.
Yeah.
So it's a lesson that I'm trying to learn still, but I love it, and it was really fun to do.
Yeah, so it is sort of a memoir.
It's a memoir. What if that was my only memoir?
It would be a good one.
It's about a semi-bald chicken with a bee. That would be Tony Hill's memoir.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, the chicken does resemble Tony Hill.
He does. He does. And he's actually, he also, one of my favorite characters on The Muppets was Beaker.
Yes.
And he also kind of looks like him, so I love that.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. By the way, at West Point, was there a dramatic academy as well as a military academy? How did you get into the drama?
Well, when I moved to Tallahassee, Florida, my brother, who was older than I was, he was really into sports, and I was the kid that just wasn't into sports. I actually remember being in a swim meet once, and I stopped in the middle of the swim meet, and my dad was like, what are you doing? You gotta swim, keep swimming. And he said, I had this look on my face that was like, why? I'm exhausted. So I just wasn't into sports, and then my parents found this great theater group called Young Actors Theater that they signed me up for, and I just fell in love with it. And so that's how I started getting into acting in high school.
Yeah. And did you go through improv, or did you...
You know, I did mainly, when I moved to New York after college, I mainly did sketch comedy. We did a lot of kind of writing fun, topical sketches and just goofing around, and that's where I did most of my comedy in New York.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm going through your whole list of credits here, and they're substantial. I mean, we got Angry Birds, you know, the most recent, I guess. And I guess you're doing something called, what is this thing called?
Also, if you also look at the very end, there's a credit called Raging Hormones,
yes,
which I never did.
Oh, you never did that?
No, I don't know where that came
from.
How
did you get associated with Raging Hormones?
I have no idea, but to this day, I have no idea how that got there.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's
we'll cross that
out. I don't
know
if there's another. Yeah.
We'll cross that out. But Yoga Hosers.
Oh yeah.
That's coming up.
Yes, yeah, so that was done with Kevin Smith, and it's really fun, really fun.
Yeah.
He's just such a cool guy, and that was one of those things, like, you never, because you kind of, it was in between jobs, and you go for, just to kind of, you know, I was there for like 2 days, and it's really fun, and you don't really see the whole picture, how it's going to come out, so I'm always eager to see how it's going to turn out.
Yeah. Now, Bud Selig Must Die was a short.
Yeah.
And he's from around here, actually. He went to the same high school I did, Bud Selig, here in Milwaukee, and Washington High School. And how did that play well?
Well, he died.
Yeah, he died. He dies in it. Okay, so it came out well.
My buddy was doing. He had this funny thing about he was just doing the short, and I just had some time. He's like, "You want to be in it?" I said, "Sure." It's not a very involved story. It's like, hey, Tony, you want to do it? Sure. Okay, and then you do it. But yeah, it was with John Heater. Me and John Heater did it.
Yeah. And actually, the Sanjay and Craig TV series, I missed that entirely. How is that possible?
Well, it's on Saturday mornings, and my daughter loves it. And it's just this, I play this character named Mr. Nudeman, who has, he's this neighbor to this kid and his friend Snake, and it's just a quirky Nickelodeon cartoon. And I'm telling you, doing animation is so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I just play this, you know, again, a neurotic character, which is, I think, just the story of my life. So
yeah,
it's really fun to do. Really fun.
Are you actually yourself neurotic or not at all?
Tony 2.0 is probably is not with, after a lot of therapy. Tony 1.0 was a mess.
Yeah, but at least he could use all that. I mean, it served you well.
Oh yeah, I got a huge vault of memories that I pull up.
Yeah.
Comedy comes from a lot of pain.
Yeah, apparently it does. I've never had a lot of comedy as a result. I haven't had enough pain.
You gotta get on that.
Yeah, I got to. Up all night. Law and Order, Special Victims, and you were on Sopranos. I know that's what I wanted to ask you about. And what did you do on the Sopranos? Because I don't recall it.
I played a nurse who was giving Uncle Junior his chemotherapy when he was going through when he had cancer, and I was so that was because at the time when I was living in New York, there was the big jobs in New York were Sex and the City and Sopranos,
right.
And so I got this little bit role on Sopranos, and I was so terrified because I was just surrounded by these kind of iconic, like thug like characters, and here's like quirky Tony Hale walking in and being like, "Here's your medicine," and so I almost pooped my pants that day.
Yeah.
I was terrified.
Was that your only line?
Poop my pants?
Yeah. Here's your medicine.
I don't even think I had a line. I probably said a line and then just like...
They cut it.
Just could it. They cut it because I looked so terrified.
And so you don't remember being the wise guy driver in Raging Hormones, though. That was not you.
I don't remember being the wise guy driver. No. I do not know where that came from.
Yeah, but Dawson's Creek, yes.
Yeah, and Dawson's Creek was another one of my first things. And I remember meeting, James Vanderbeek was on that show. Mm-hmm. And when I got the role, I'd never really done any TV. And I was, excited because I'd never worked with, a quote celebrity. And so I was thinking, hey, maybe James Vanderbeek and I will be buddies and this will be fun. And literally all I had was two lines. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, we're going to have a great friendship.
Yeah.
So I remember coming on that day and I'm not kidding. He was wearing a lot of coats. He had like two or three coats on. And my very first thing I said to him was, "Dude, you look hot." And he kind of gave me this look like, "What?" And then before I could explain myself, he was called off the set. And then I literally, my second thing I said to him was, "No, I mean, take it off." So to this day, I think he thinks I was just coming on to him the whole day.
That accounts for why you often have just one episode in any of these series.
Exactly. They're like, do not bring that guy back.
Tony Hale is trouble. Yeah. But you were on Sex and the City, though, too, weren't you, besides this brand?
I was. I played Tiger, who was the... this is another story, actually. Because I was... a photographer's assistant when Kim Cattrall was having, I don't remember her character, was it Samantha was her name maybe? I can't remember, but she was having nude photos taken. And so I was the photographer's assistant who was just kind of had to stare at her all day when she was taking shoots. And I went up to her and I, trying to be the nice guy, I was like, "Hey, Kim, I just want to apologize because I have to pretty much Google you and stare at you all day," thinking that she would be like, "Oh, that's sweet." She thought I was a freak. And I just, that didn't go well either. So needless to say, I was never invited back to Sex and the City either.
You know, so it's kind of surprising you've done as well as you have. Given some of these...
It's a daily miracle.
Yeah. Because, I mean, isn't there a lot of word of mouth on these sets? Tony Hale is a freak.
Tony Hale, he's a freak.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. They just don't say it to my face.
Yeah. But Veep, you're being... By the way, I think Veep is like the best casted show ever. Everyone on there...
It's so fun.
Yeah.
It's so fun, and I tell you, the great thing is because we shoot in Baltimore, and I live in Los Angeles, and so it's really tough to be away from family, but if we had to be away from family, those are the people I want to be with because they're so kind, and it's just a... And the thing is, you know, we're, the writers write the script, but then we have 2 or 3 weeks of rehearsal before we shoot, which is very rare for television. Mm-hmm. And so it enables us to really improv and come up with bits and let the material gel, and that is just such a gift. And so it's a really giving environment. There's no ego, there's no entitlement, and so it's really fun.
Yeah, it seems fun. Because I follow on Twitter a number of the people, and yourself included, and there's some pretty cool Instagrams that come out of it. So
We just have a blast.
Yeah,
we do.
I enjoy that. And who would think, it's an Italian guy who lives in England writing about American politics, right?
Yeah, Armando Iannucci.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is what's, and by the way, they're all Brits.
Oh, they're all Brits.
Every single one of the writers is from the UK.
Yeah.
And so it's their interpretation of American politics, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
This is a big reason why I love the show is because, you know, I think with politics, it is true. You know, you kind of hear these sound bites and you see the posturing and you hear the perfect speeches that are well written, but you never see behind the scenes. And you know these people freak out behind the scenes. I mean, mm-hmm. they're pressure cookers for a tremendous amount of anxiety and big decisions. So you know they lose it behind the scenes and have breakdowns, cry and scream and get insecure. And I love that our show takes you back there. You know, it takes the camera behind the scenes, and I love that.
Yes. Yes, it's watching her walk through a plate glass door, I think, is one of the magic moments.
Yeah, and she when she walked through the door, for those who haven't seen it, you know, her face got really cut up, and it was awful, and my character, you know, was just traumatized because she's just, in my eyes, she's Jesus.
Right.
And she looked at me and she says, "Gary, do you have a mirror?" And I lied and said, "I don't. I don't."
That was great.
I didn't want her to see it.
Julia is so brilliant. Yeah, she's absolutely amazing. You know.
And it's tough. You know, not only is she so funny, but I believe her. She carries the authority of that role.
Yeah.
And I just, it's so inspiring.
Yeah. And it's a great character. Her character is great because she's intelligent and completely ignorant at the same time. She has this division. She doesn't know what she's talking about, but she's also extremely intelligent. Yeah.
Never. Yeah. She's in a position she should never be. Our nation is in a lot of trouble this next season.
Yeah. And that scene where she dropped all her makeup on the Oval Office rug, she went to see the president. And I mean, they're just brilliant scenes. And her as a person, she is so generous to the rest of the cast because, I mean, I think everybody comes off great and everyone gets their own moments on there that are just brilliant.
Yeah, and that's the thing when you have, you know, whoever's the lead of the show is called the number one on the call sheet.
Yeah.
And that number one on the call sheet sets the tone for the entire set. If they are difficult or if they have entitlement or anything, everybody's walking on eggshells. If there's someone like Julia who is so gracious and kind and a team player, it just sets such a creative, giving environment, and it makes such a difference.
Yeah. For you yourself, you seem to be in a lot of movies now. You're getting a lot of parts in a lot of movies, so you're in demand.
I guess. I'm so thankful to be working, man. I am just so happy for a gig.
Yeah.
I will say it's really nice now because we finished shooting Veep before Christmas. And so after Christmas, we traveled a little bit and then got back home to Los Angeles. It's really nice to be home. And I love taking my daughter to school and picking her up and going to her. I mean, I just love just kind of being back in routine. So that's what I'm most excited about.
Yeah, those are the best years. Your publicist is telling us right now you have to go. Did you know that?
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes.
But
you have to go. I don't know where you're going, but you have to go. Tony.
Okay, well, I've got things to do.
Okay.
I've got things to do.
Thank you so much. It was a great pleasure talking to you.
Eat cinnamon rolls on a Saturday morning. but, guys, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Tony Hale, it's a pleasure. Archibald's next big thing is the book and Veep and everything else. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony Hale.
Have
a wonderful weekend.
He has to go.